Guys, we are back with Monique Achenbach. She is a friend of mine from university days and also one of the most consistent runners that I know. Just while we were walking over here, I was speaking to her and I was like, "Brew, your Strava, that is the Strava of dreams." Showing up consistently definitely is something she knows how to do. Monique, welcome back to George.
Thank you.
It's really nice to see you. I know you've made a slight shift. Last year it was marathon and you ran a super strong race, and this year you're back for something a little bit shorter, sharper, and probably much faster. So how are you feeling?
Indeed. No, definitely nervous, if I can be honest. But I think the build this year has really been consistent, as you've mentioned,
yeah,
and really encouraging almost. Funny enough, one of the main focuses for this year is to try and run as close as possible to a 3-hour 10 road marathon.
Yes.
So all about speed. Yeah, I think it's been really a journey for me to discover what speed is and how to develop it.
Mm.
And it's really been awesome working so closely with my coach, Brendan. Speed has always been something that I was fearful of.
Yes.
And also a reason why I did not necessarily approach the shorter, faster, sharper races.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely putting me out of my comfort zone. It's challenging me in a new hallway.
Mm.
This year so far has really been encouraging, just to see how splits is being made and pacing picking up, and how the speed fibers in the body is developing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've really been enjoying the journey, and let's see how it's going to flow out on Sunday.
You are amazing. You juggle so many things. I know that you have an intense job. You train. Like, you fit a lot of training in. This is also not like a small amount of training. Social life, like the friend that you are to a lot of people. So well done, first of all. I'm excited to just all of that work to come together on Sunday. And Monique, with the kind of road goals and more the speed training, like, how's the body responded to that, like, different type? Did it take a while to adjust? Depending on your background and all of those things, it sometimes takes time for the body to absorb that new kind of stimulus.
No, definitely. I think to my surprise, to the speed work itself, it actually responded quite quickly. After the first building block into the speed, we saw a massive improvement already. So that was really encouraging. Something to get used to for me is actually spending so much time on the road.
Okay.
It hits differently.
Yeah.
Especially that first block, like, the stiffness was just different. I almost want to say with trail running, it's smoother, it's softer.
Yes.
So that was something that hit differently.
Yeah, road produces that ache.
definitely. I think there's different elements coming out to enjoy.
Mm.
One thing that I can definitely be honest about that I'm actually missing is spending the longer hours in the mountains.
Yes.
Although it doesn't mean you spend no hours in the mountains, but, you know, that 5-6 hour runs, is there's just something different about that.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to at some stage, you know, head back in that direction. But currently, I'm definitely just enjoying the new wave and the new challenge of the speed.
Yeah. That's so cool, Monique. I'm so glad that it's been going well. And seeing you here at the Race Village and ready for Sunday, I mean, any race strategy going in on Sunday? I know that you mentioned that it's kind of a bit out of your comfort zone. Mm. Are you kind of measuring yourself against the course? Is there a time that you have in mind? How do you kind of approach preparation?
I think time-wise, nothing specifically in mind. I think for me, it's a thing of like reading the crowd. So for me, the first, let's say, 7 to 8 Ks will be reading the field that's running with me.
Yeah.
Not going out too hard. I think that's something that's my two previous races, which was also, well, shortish distances.
Yeah.
It was a thing of like learning how to go out not too quickly. Because I think with the threshold section that you run in, like, consistently with the shorter distances, can burn the matches quite quickly.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's going to be an easier start, but climbing is in my favor. So I think at George Dam, I'll definitely try and make my move.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all going to depend on the day, definitely.
Very cool. And I see the weather's said to be quite warm this weekend. Are you a warm weathered runner, or do you prefer it to be a little bit stormy and rainy?
Yeah. It's actually a good question you're asking. If I can be honest, I enjoy the storms.
Yes. I feel like I remember you doing bat run in the craziest storm.
Last year's bat run was an epic ride. And I did bat run this year as well.
Yes.
But the weather was perfect this year.
Amazing.
And to be honest, last year's race was much more enjoyable with the bad weather.
Yeah.
So I think having the warm weather on that side is going to introduce different elements.
Yeah.
But I know George for when it gets hotter to get humid.
Yes.
So yeah, definitely going to stock up on enough electrolytes up until Sunday. But yeah, I almost want to say the weather looks good, but we can embrace it as well.
And Monique, your kind of nerves ahead of race day, how do you typically deal with that feeling of just like nerves before your race start? Do you feel that quite strongly, or do you kind of have good coping mechanisms and you can just get to the race in one piece mentally?
I think for me, usually, like currently we're not 2 days before the race start and I'm still cool, calm and collected.
Yes.
Usually the evening before, I can feel the nerves are building up. And then the morning before the race, it's a thing of, I would just like to do my thing, you know, stay in the zone, warm up and stay focused. So I almost want to say the morning beforehand, I can maybe tend to be a bit more, not grumpy, but very straight-faced and serious. But as soon as that gun goes off, it's like everything just flows out. All the nerves is gone.
Yeah.
But in general, it's usually not such a big thing to deal with. It's very manageable. But, you know, there's a difference between A races and B races.
Yes.
So then the nerves tends to be a bit more intense.
Yes.
But still manageable, I would say.
To dip under that 3:10 marathon, there might be some nerves coming pulling in there.
No, definitely. Definitely. So
Monique, it's so nice to see you. I'm so excited that your prep has gone well. I think there is a strong women's field on Sunday, and I know that you'll respond well to that by when all the women push one another like that, I think it makes for great performances. So
definitely.
Best of luck. I am very excited for you, and I will be at the finish line hoping to see you cross with that big classic big smile on your face.
Definitely. Excited to see, and thank you for the opportunity.
Everyone, I am here with Dr. Chandra Jacobs. She has donned running clothes for the day and has just had an incredible adventure out in the Otanikwa. Chandra, you are a hero. Mm-hmm. I am so stoked to see you here. Can you tell us a little bit, how are you doing? How are you feeling? She is fresh out of the Otanikwa Mountains and is, giving us a little bit of a sneak peek into how her day was.
Yeah. No, it was a really tough day out. I think the Otanikwa Mountains humbled me. But I absolutely loved it. There were so many different sections, like forest, pure mountain. I mean, what is it called? Dizzy Heights.
Beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful. And the descent before you get there, it is fantastic. But you look up for 2 seconds and you're like, wow. And then you have to look at the trail in front of you because it's like a sheer drop.
Wow.
But it was absolutely beautiful, but very challenging. I found it a very tough day out. I struggled a bit with nausea, but I think it's my nutrition maybe. But the heat could have also played into that, because it was, we were going up Dizzy Heights. The heat was literally on us, on our back.
Wow.
But it's beautiful, beautiful place. Yeah.
Yo, Chandra, I think I never thought that the heat and George Mutt would maybe go together, but I've heard that the trails were dry. I've heard that it was a beautiful day.
Yes.
So what kind of was going through your mind in some of the more challenging spots, the nausea? How do you kind of bounce back from those moments?
Yeah. So what I tried to do is, I knew there were 2 significant climbs. So I'm a climber. So I thought, okay, let me just profit on that.
Yeah.
And then the descent, just, you know, keep the pace that I can and see if I can bring it home. But then I got nauseous and I was like, okay, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
So I took my electrolytes, but the electrolytes also like kind of pushed on the nausea. And then I have another water bottle with just water. So I just kind of, you know, try to have that. And then I have Pringles, the salt and vinegar.
Yes, the salt and vinegar. You're famous for it.
Yeah, it works like a bomb. And I just started chowing that.
Yeah.
And then it got a little bit less. And then I had Rennie's. But it would come and go. But, yes. You know, that's how it is in trail races. You feel good, then you feel bad, then you feel good, and then you just have to take it, you know. But, I'm glad to have finished at least.
And, Shawnee, you had a super, super strong finish. It was a stacked field. There's been records falling like nobody's business today. And I think you had an incredibly strong run. Are you still happy with kind of performance overall? I know also, for those who don't know, Shawnee's had an amazing build up to this race, very consistent. Her partnership with Salomon is new and exciting. And I'm very proud of your work. But how are you feeling, kind of the emotions surrounding the day?
Yeah. I think I did a lot of strength work. So I had a big strength block to prepare for the hiking or the power hiking.
Yeah.
And I think that helped me a lot as well. I did a lot of eccentric work on the quads. And now, because the descents were really steep,
yes,
I could really feel the quads were overactivating, but it wasn't cramping.
Yes.
So at least that I can see the gym is working with, in combination with the hill training and the normal aerobic training. But yeah, I think I'm happy with the race. The only section was the dizzy heights.
Okay.
Because I haven't run this race before, so I didn't know what to expect. And my fear of heights came in a little bit.
Wow.
Because there's some gnarly sections.
Yes, and there's that one. I think it's like the last switchback. It's like hands over feet.
Yes.
And it's extremely sheer, that drop.
Yeah. Scrambling and you look down, you're like, whoa, if I do anything wrong here, you know, there you go. But I think I just tuned into myself and just focused on not looking down, but look in front of you.
Yeah.
And just push through and hopefully I'll get to the end. But I thought initially we're going through the cliff, but then I was so happy when I saw we were going this way. And I could see, okay, there's a normal trail. So, we're not going to be, scrambling anytime.
And, but, Shawnee, it's always so nice for me to see kind of steady shakeouts here at all the races and in full support of one another. Are there quite a lot of friends still out there on the trail, people that you're waiting for, people racing tomorrow?
There's not so many this year, but there are a few. I think one is doing the 60, one is doing the 100K.
Wow.
And then tomorrow we don't have that many.
Shakeouts all in for the long distances.
But we love coming out. I think coming to these big races, it's nice to see all the crews together and just to see everyone come out in numbers. So it's quite nice.
It's amazing, Shawnee. I know you are just involved in the community. I love to see all your work. And Shawnee, what is up next for you? I know it's always like you'll take time to kind of reflect and really celebrate this. This is months and months of work coming together. But where can we expect to see you and cheer for you next?
Yeah. So I entered for the Table Mountain race of Ryan Sands.
Yes.
I think that's first before the Cape Cobra. Okay. I don't know.
Yes, they're close together. Yeah, they're September, close together. October.
So I'll be doing those two races and then UTCT 55. I'm going to go back and see if I can better my time with that one. But that's also a gnarly race. And then I've got a 3-day stage race in the Cedarburg
that I'm going to do.
Yeah, it's an inaugural. So I want to support local and to see that the race, you know, picks up and people start attending it and things like that. So the next one would be then the Table Mountain and then the Cobra.
Amazing. But first, some recovery after today's big run.
And I think I need a massage. Tony,
what is next? what is the first thing that you want to do after leaving this room?
Shower. I need to take a shower. And I think to eat, because I don't know why I was so nauseous, but I think I just need to eat something substantial because my stomach is a bit weird now. And hydrate. So electrolytes in water post-race recovery is very important. I don't think I'm going to stretch this evening because I'll probably cramp. But probably tomorrow when I get home, do some stretches and stuff. Not foam rolling yet, maybe in the week. And then take it very slow in the week, just like easy runs, and then start building
Once you've recovered. So this is a good week for me to meet you for a run when you are tired and I'm fresh.
Yes,
perfect.
We can do that coffee run.
Shawnee, thank you so much. Big congrats on your run. It's always lovely to see you, and I'm excited to watch your progress throughout the rest of the year.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Ames.
Guys, I'm back with one of my favorite humans, Rebecca Kiener. We share a birthday month. I'm super proud of that fact. And she has just smashed the Mutt Marathon. I think she made it look easy, but she's going to tell us a little bit more about what it was actually like. Welcome, Rebecca. How are you feeling a couple of hours post-race?
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to be back here. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a little bit stiff, actually. But yeah, I'm feeling good.
Good. Nice. And running at home, Rebecca, I mean, it must be blessing and a curse. Nice to sleep in your own bed and like have that kind of ease of race day, but also the whole community is out to support you, which I can imagine is like quite a lot of pressure for the day.
Yeah. Well, it's always nice being in my own bed and warming up here and hopping on the trails from my doorstep.
Yes.
But yeah, racing at home is a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super special that I have my family and my friends and the local community around.
You must have, like, did you run here this morning from home?
No.
Not quite.
Matt and I actually drove to the start.
But I mean, going out and doing this race, this is your training ground, your playground. It must have, in some ways, tried to kind of feel like this is just another training day. I don't know if that was maybe your pep talk, if you were like, I'm here to race. How did you feel when you were starting this morning?
This morning I was nervous. I get quite nervous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought of it as a long run.
Nice.
And yeah, just to enjoy it.
And conditions on the day, I know a lot of people are very excited about the fact that there wasn't as much mud as usual. I mean, you've trained here summer, winter, you've probably seen it all. But yeah, chat to us a little bit about the course and how the race kind of unfolded.
Yeah, the conditions this year were really good. It's been super dry, not much rain. So yeah, the trails were really like well conditioned.
Nice.
And runnable, and yeah, not much mud. The mud keeps it fun though. But yeah, it was, I think, a foster year for the runners.
Yeah. And Rebecca, I mean, you came back, you defending your kind of marathon win. How did the race unfold today? Were you running alone most of the time? Was there a bit of kind of exchange of position?
Yeah, the beginning the girl that came second, Marika, we ran together for a while.
Nice.
And then, yeah, then on the climb, we split up and, yeah, I was in the lead. And, yeah, it was a good day. It was very warm, very hot. But, yeah, it went well.
Do you prefer that warmer weather? Is this, like, a happy place for you race-wise? Or would you have preferred a little bit of cooler temperature?
I don't really mind. I like whatever it is, I like it.
You're like, I just love being outside. Yeah. Nice. And just kind of once you pulled away on the climb, Rebecca, were you kind of looking over your shoulder to see if anyone was chasing you, or were you quite confident that you had a good lead?
Yeah, I looked back every now and then.
And I see, I mean, you like really just overtaking the guys. I just love that. I had a friend of mine, Rob Hobson, he's going to be so mad that I'm saying this, but he was like, Rebecca Kinn is going to run past me. I just know it. And then apparently you did in the last 3Ks. So well done. Yeah, but super strong run, Rebecca. Has it been like a good lead up for you? Has it been a good year? I know we've had some people in studio where little injuries, aches and pains, stuff popping up. Have you had a fairly turbulent year, or good
build up? It's been a while since I've raced, but the build up for the race has been really good. Yeah.
Nice. And training, you now have your own training partner, a four-legged friend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Well, not yet. She's a little bit of a baby still, but okay. Yeah. Few months.
What's her name?
Ellie.
Ellie. Okay, for anyone wondering, this is Rebecca's dog. I must say, I saw it and I was like, she did it. She got herself. Because I know that you always run with your cousins, Jack Russells, which provides much entertainment for all of us watching the Instagram stories. So are Ellie and the Jack Russells going to be friends?
That's cousins so cool. As well, I guess.
Yeah, cousins. That's so cute. I love it. And Rebecca, I mean, it's so cool for me to see like you have a strong run, you're in the race village, you're cheering for Brandon as he comes over the 100K line, and you're looking very fresh for somebody who absolutely smoked a marathon. And looking ahead, where can we expect to see you next?
I'll be heading to Spain for Valderrama in July.
Okay, nice. So just before it gets too cold, you can bounce to European summer.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And I think I know the answer to this, but what are you going to be celebrating your win with in a couple of minutes? Your favorite post-run treat?
We're going to be having sushi.
Very nice. I remember for those who listened to Rebecca's original episode, we spent quite a long time talking about sushi.
Yeah. Always.
Rebecca, it's super nice to see you. Congrats on your great run. Good luck for Spain. And we're rooting for you.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, I'm here with Admire. I've said it before, he is a favorite child of the sport and just one of the best humans in the trail community. Always smiling, always a wise word before race day. He was the one giving Sam Riley all the advice on how to beat her brother, and she came very close. I don't know if you've heard. Addie, yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good. Very tired. To tell you honestly, I've never worked hard in a race for a position or fight a position I wanted. And today it was that day. And the mountains are big when you want to achieve that and it's not coming right. And then you keep pushing and running away from the best athletes behind you.
Yeah.
It's something that's, it's like you're trying to, the water is dripping in a roof. And that corner is leaking, that corner, and you're trying to juggle buckets in between, and you only have got one bucket, so
it was
like that today.
That is a very good metaphor just to help us kind of understand. It looked like a dogfight out there for in the miler. It's the race, men and women, was extremely strong.
Yeah.
I think having just... Yeah, going into the night, you had a very strong lead, and then it was a bit of cat and mouse. I believe there was some navigational stuff. Do you want to talk us through kind of going into the night and how that was?
Yeah, so going into the night, it was good. I was feeling happy in the position I was, just behind Andre, and we were all pushing, chatting, and all that. But I think he managed to drop me from... just before Harold's Wine.
Wow.
As we go into the dark. But I was trying to catch up with him. And I could see him like in a distance. And so when I got to Dizzy Height, it was already dark.
Yeah.
And when you see a headlamp in the dark, you don't know, because Dizzy Height is like a snake.
Yes.
So you may think you know where the person is because of the headlamp, but it's moving. So light...
yes.
Misjudges your own perception of
yes.
where the person is. So I pushed very hard to try catch up with him, and I could not see him again. But after that, I did not see even his lamp at the bottom, because he had pushed very hard.
Wow.
Because he had the advantage to kind of like move. And when I got to Wilderness, because that's where we were all going, so on the bridge, I had to pull that boat, the boat that gets you to the other side, and I pulled it close to me, and I crossed over. So as you finish the wooden boats,
yes,
there was two signs there. So I had two lines of the blue line on my watch. Then one suddenly disappeared. I did not think that the one going right is mine. I just went left.
Oh.
And then on the left, I met some of the 100K runners.
And you knew it was the wrong turn?
No, so Zane called me first, and then he said, "Admire, have you been to the wooden boat?" I said, "Yeah, I've been there now. I'm coming from there now."
Yeah.
"I'm coming from Wilderness. I'm now going to Orcas." I said, "Okay, but I think you took the wrong sign."
Oh.
I'm like, "No, but the sign that I have," like confidently, I said to him, "the sign that I have is the right one, because my watch still shows me the arrow to go up." Then I sent him a screenshot on WhatsApp after he phoned me. Then Jacques then called me. I'm like 4Ks up. I said, "Admire, that's not the way you must go. Your line is inside the bush. You need to turn around, and I'll call you when you're at the right position to take which one."
So that's an 8K detour, hey?
Yeah, 8K.
Brutal. And
luckily, my friend Tembi.
Yes.
Yeah, Tembi, because you know him from here.
Yes.
I met Jess Barrow.
Yes.
She was going down, and I asked her, "How come you guys are coming in reverse? You need to be that side of wilderness.
Yeah.
Then she said, no, no, Adi, you came down also this way.
Yeah.
But you don't go to the bridge first. You come off on the river section and we will come back to the bridge. Then I got confused. I said, okay. Then I kept going. Then
admire.
I met Tembi. Yes. And then Tembi said, no, bro, I'll show you. Let's
I'll
go together
you.
Down.
Yeah.
Then he showed me and then I started going up. So, you know, when you have lost time and distance, now your watch is adding more.
Mm.
And now you're thinking, okay, how am I going to reduce this time? And there were, it was a hill, like 1.7 Ks.
Yeah.
But it's 772 meters steep.
Yeah.
I think I used like 60% of the energy I had with me at that moment because I wanted to get up before the people who were behind me covered the gap. And in that same time, I was thinking they're already ahead.
Oh,
so you're trying to juggle.
Is all this happening in the dark?
Yeah, in the dark.
Oh, my
with the headlamp.
Yeah.
Going up that peak. So I met these two lady, a lady and I think it's a wife and husband and wife. Their car is you ascend at the top of the trail. Then I asked them, did anyone pass here? They said, no, it's only Andre who's ahead of you. I said, okay, thank God.
Yeah.
But I didn't know my Sunto mate.
Yes.
She's just in those woods finishing the 100 meters to get to the road.
Ugh.
So I'm running nice and easy to go to Oakhurst.
Yeah.
Then I see a headlamp behind me. I'm like, so I pass this farm. There's like dairy farm. And when I'm there, the guys were actually milking the cows at 3.
Yeah, it's that early morning dairy call. Yeah.
So I saw the headlamp. I thought it's one of the guys who was working there. And he's got his bike and the light is.
Yes.
Because his hair light was like a little bit blue. So I thought, it's just a guy on the bike.
Yeah.
I saw she's climbing this gate as I did. I'm like, no. The guy for the farm can't climb the gate. It's someone. It's either Nicolette or the fourth guy, the third guy. Yo, I ran from there. I was like cat and mouse, like running hard. I go to Oakes, she arrives. Then I realized,
Nicolette.
Then I realized, now you're going to have to work very hard.
Because
she is bad news. She can crush
very
you.
Very strong.
And now at the moment, you kind of like not 100%.
Yes.
And I'm chasing Andre, and I have to defend.
Yes. So you've got two tasks. You're like chasing and defending.
Double working, yeah.
And Pierre is also hanging around. Like he also had a strong run.
At that time, Pierre was fifth.
Yes.
But Michael was behind Nicolette like 200 meters.
Yeah.
And at some point, you'd see they're like close to each other. So I knew if I'm only not fighting one person, I'm fighting Nicolette and Michael and the other two who are behind them. So if they realize that Maya is there, everyone is going to come and say, we need to get him.
Adi, this is blowing my mind that in such a long distance that there is like, it's like minutes and like very essential moments that can make or break the race.
It's intense. That's why I said I've never fought for a position.
Mm.
Or defended a position that I'm holding as tough as I did today.
Yes.
So from Oakhurst, as I get up that peak and I saw Nicolette, I didn't stop.
You just
I kept on pushing.
Fight. Yeah.
Now I forgot about Andre. I said, don't forget about Andre. Focus on the ones behind you. Because if you, one mistake, they're coming over you.
Yeah.
And I think she realized it's admire also because we sat on the bench together and she's changing her bottles. I'm having a sandwich. Hi, how's it? And I'm like, now I'm calculating in my head. Now, how am I going to get out of this situation now? Because I'm tired. I'm exhausted. My mind is already tired.
Yes.
There was a point where I was actually sleeping, like sitting on the bench because I'm exhausted. And from there, I didn't have a proper break, like, to sit and relax.
Yes.
At Berg Plus, I sat there, I had, like, 5 cups of Coke and banana bread. I almost threw those out.
Oh.
Because my mind is still kind of, like, not happy. And as I'm leaving, she's coming down.
So you just feel that pressure.
Yeah.
That pressure's in your stomach, it's in your mind. Wow.
And as I'm leaving, Pastor Mike was just behind her.
Yes.
And they came together and I could see them. So, you know, like when you, those contours.
Yes. You see them just appearing.
Yes. So I had told myself, I need to run the hills as hard as I can because they're going to walk.
And that's how you're going to make that gap.
Yeah. And I was also seeing them walking. I'm like, okay, so they're good on the downs, but the walking is up. So me, I must do vice versa.
Yes.
I slow down on the downs so I get power to go up.
Wow.
So that whole section from Berg Plus to Tierkop, I didn't rest. I think I drank 6 of those 500 ml bottles of water. I did not want Revive. I did not want Coke anymore. I had Coke in one of the bottles. I threw it out because
yes.
It was like, you know, like when you've got the heat
and
now you've got Coke. My thirst was there for water only. So I drank from those streams a lot. Then I told myself, I need to run down as soon as those contours finish. I need to run down that steep gully and go around and then finish on that last hill to Tierkop ahead. So I need to put a gap in between. If I don't see them on 3 contours, I know I've got like a 2K or 1.5K.
Yes.
But they were coming. As I left Tierkop, the position had changed now because Margot left behind.
Wow.
And I saw Nicolette and then I saw Pierre. There, that's when I realized I'm now in trouble. I need to run. So I met this lovely young lady. I forgot to ask her name. So as I left Tierkop, she was also leaving. She was doing 60K.
Yes.
And then I just followed her. I told myself,
wow,
I need her to pace me. So I just followed her behind. At some point, she said, do you want to pass? I said, no, I'm actually comfortable.
Using you. Yes.
As you are inspiring me to keep running because I'm dead. I'm doing a miler, but I need to get to the finish.
Wow.
With you.
Yeah, you're like, I need that fresh energy that you have to pull me through now.
But thank goodness she did help me until the last drop. Then I let her go so she can finish and I just carry on down slowly, slowly to the end. It was...
Wow, Eddie.
Hard.
And like 25 hours, you had a super, super strong run. I mean, it was a hot miler. I mean, how different to the conditions that you've had in the past?
So some of the milers, like if it's UTD, there is some chill breeze. UTCT is also quite hot, like in the day, but I've done 100Ks only. But the conditions might be fine. You can still maneuver in those conditions, but not when you are under pressure with something. It's like when you're sick.
Yes.
When you fall sick and then you still need to get to the finish. It's far long.
Yeah.
You don't want to press the source button because you think, no, I need to do this. I need to get to the finish.
Yeah.
So this race, like that whole section from Oakhurst down into those pines up to Berg Plus, it's hot because the mountains are reflecting the heat back and the sun is coming from the other side facing the mountain. So
your eyes are getting tired as well.
Yeah, it's not very easy. So the pressure is mainly on the task than anything else. So yeah, today, I think that last 33Ks, I've never ran that hard. Like after a mile, I was running fast, but because my mind is saying, if you relax, that's it.
Wow.
You can't sit over
third. You have to fight for
second
every...
best is fine, but third, that's like, no, I can't do that. I need to skip it. Whoever wants to get it needs to come and work harder than me.
Wow, Addy.
So, yeah, it was amazing. I loved it because, you know, the people behind you are best. No one in the top 10, we can say they're not best athletes.
Yes, yeah.
So if they see you are wounded,
yes,
then they come for it.
You have to show that you're strong, even when you're not feeling it.
Yeah,
and
sometimes if you're not strong, you need to get that go. Like, just get that mojo, like, to pull you through.
I can't imagine just fighting for your run for so many hours. I think just if people think about what they can accomplish or do in a 24-hour, 25-hour day,
yeah.
I imagine the focus and locking in and running and eating and fighting and race strategy. It's really a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And it's a short distance. You're doing it. Remember, I'd run 135 before.
Yes.
And this was like 32, 33 Ks to go.
Yeah.
And now because I got lost, now I was subtracting those 9 Ks that I'd overrun.
Yeah.
To try and match the right distance for the race.
I'd
and in that time, I know the course.
Yeah.
But every aid station I aim at, I'm asking them how many Ks from here to the next one. Then they say, okay, 14, 16. Sometimes they get it accurate. Sometimes they get it short or longer.
Yes.
But I was subtracting the over from that.
Yeah.
Which is also hard because you're trying to focus and, you know, you're doing mathematics and all that. It's quite hard. But I think I can say I am proud of what I ended up getting out of it.
Mm.
And the people who were behind me, the athletes that were behind me, motivated me to keep going. Because if they were not there,
yeah,
I was going to relax.
Yes.
I would have come like 30 hours or 28 or...
Yeah.
But I knew Nicolette's goal, she's good. And there was no way she wants to run 27, 28, 29, 30.
Yes.
So yeah. I then put myself in there. I'm like, so if I leave, let this go. She'll be second overall, so...
Yeah.
You see, so... In that
admirers,
moment,
like, they've pushed me to run my best race.
Yeah.
You're like, it hurts, but it's...
For sure,
it's
yeah.
necessary.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was quite good. I was happy, yeah.
And Addy, are you...
Just I need to keep this book happy. My demo is 15 on curve and then that's all I need. So, trucks to know.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry,
cool,
sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, cool.
No worries, Addy. Oops, truck's still up. An Addy body on the day, are you feeling like it showed up? Other than, I know, the navigational errors and the mind feeling tired, how are you feeling physically?
Physically, I'm broken because when I finished, my eyes were like blurry. I couldn't like open hard. I had to sleep for like a couple of hours in the Sunto tent because I needed that, like that short nap.
Yes.
And I couldn't, you know, like when I was walking the hills, I would touch my waist.
Yeah.
I would feel pain on my skin.
Yeah.
Everywhere where I touch, it's like sore.
Painful.
So my body actually overworked, which is not a bad thing because sometimes we tend to limit ourselves. Like I'm saying to you, if I had relaxed, I was probably going to get a later time. Or let's say I had found Andre.
Yeah.
We're probably going to finish close to each other, but that's like I'm there comfortable. You understand?
Yes.
But there I did not have that luxury.
Yeah.
So here is where I can say when the people say there is limits in your body, there isn't. Because me today, my body showed me that there is no limit. You just got to have to put your mind together. And let the body do the work. You need to just feed it with whatever's there or whatever it thinks in the mind.
Yeah.
You just need, because from Orcas, I was craving banana bread, but there was no watermelon. There. At some time, I wanted sweets, but I had to get those bread rolls, those
yes.
sugary ones.
Yes.
And sausages and all that. And I would like eat them like very quick.
Yeah.
Even my energy bars, I was surprised to have eaten four. It won't go.
Wow.
Which I normally don't eat those race food bars like that. Sometimes they don't go down, but today they did. They went in like boom, boom. And I was now not wanting my Revive supplement that gives me electrolytes.
Yes.
Or NAC.
Yeah.
I was saying no to that. I want the water.
Interesting.
So it just shows you that there is limits, but you can maneuver around it. Or you can actually, like today, my body showed me that when you want something, no matter how much the pressure is there, the task, the body can actually give you something extra than we normally know the body can do.
Yeah. That's amazing, Addy.
Thank you.
I think your fight for your position, your willingness to work for it, I think when the the option to give up or to relax, as you said, is there, and you feel so tired, it's like tempting you, and that you chose to continue fighting. You can be very proud of what you did today. And on the note of your friend, how is Tembi? Have you seen him?
So Tembi, when I met him in that night, he had already had a sugar low.
Okay.
So he was not feeling so good. He had to take a 1 hour nap, but now he's finished now.
Yes.
I think he had to eat a lot of stuff that can bring up his
boost
sugar.
Boost him again, yeah.
Which, like I say, sometimes when you're racing, you forget to eat. Because you're thinking it's wasting time, or the body doesn't tell you that advantage, you must eat.
Yeah.
So we always fall short in those terms because we're racing, we're managing the time. And then now the body doesn't think about eating. Then you fall short from eating. Then that's when you cramp or you get sick, nausea or vomiting, that kind of thing. So we need to actually eat when we can so the body does not say no.
Later on,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because it can be a problem, like a serious one. You can pass out. You can actually like die, you know, from those things because your organs does not
under
have
too
anything.
Much pressure.
So he's fine now. We're gonna go home just now and then rest.
We are about to let this man go so that he can eat and sleep and rest. But Addy, that belt buckle that's hanging around your neck, just beautiful. Hard work for that one.
Maybe the buckle, I'll find a belt and then I put it on, and whenever I wear it, I remember the last 35Ks was the hardest in my life, ever since I started racing trails or road running.
You can do anything. You'll wear that belt buckle and be like, I can do whatever task is I'm facing.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Admire, I love bumping into you at Race Villages. You're always smiling, so much wise advice, a little joke here and there for everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope that the rest of the year goes smoothly. I hope your recovery is good. Where can we expect to see you again, Addy?
I'm not sure because right now, I told myself that I'm going to tell my coach I need the whole month just to sleep.
Just to sleep.
Because when I was running there racing, I told myself, this is too much. I need to rest. I need to take the whole 2 weeks to a month. Nothing I'm doing, just go to work, come home, sleep.
Yes.
See my family, have family commitments and stuff.
Amazing.
So I'm actually going to put it to him and say, hey,
I need a race.
Today I worked too much hard for the next race, so I need to recollect that I've lost so that when I get to that one, I'm full up.
It's good, Addy. Take the rest. It's well deserved. Yeah. Big congratulations. And
thank
we
you.
Will see you again soon.
Yeah, perfect. Probably UTCT in
nice.
A local race. Yeah, so the build up is actually the planning to get there. Training, I think from September, I'll be training, just focusing on that.
Nice.
Hopefully, I won't have to fight like today, but it's always amazing when you have the people that push you.
That push you.
Okay, show us your best.
At least then, you know, if it comes to a fight, Addy, you've fought before.
I was thinking, be resilient. Don't let this go easy. So yeah, now I'm looking forward to the next journey, but now I need to rest.
Amazing. Yeah. And we're going to let you do that.
Thank
Addy,
you.
Have a good sleep and we'll
Thank
talk
you so
to you
much.
Soon.
Thank you for having me.